When you work in communications, you're going to spend a lot of time pitching. You'll pitch guest posts and podcast interviews and book ideas and summit appearances and keynotes and byline articles and contributed content and more. It's not all you do, but some days it will feel like it, especially the days when you get rejected a lot. And you're going to get rejected a lot. But you could be rejected a lot less. And that's what we're going to talk about today on the Spin Sucks podcast.
If you're a communications pro who works hard, doesn't compromise quality, and gets the job done, welcome home. We'll share our tips, tricks, and stories, and together we will change the face of PR. Spin sucks, but we don't. With the Spin Sucks podcast, here's Jenny Dietrich.
Welcome back. All right, let's talk pitching. For those of you sweet summer children unfamiliar with the term, pitching is when you reach out to a journalist or an influencer of some kind and make a case for why they should feature you and your organization or your organization in some way. People who run blogs and podcasts and publishing companies get a lot of pitches. Trust me, I get a lot of pitches and I'm nowhere near the New York Times. It's a lot. And that's because earned media of peso fame can make such a big difference for a brand, the reach, and how they're perceived. The fastest and most certain way to earned media is to pitch for it. If someone has a popular platform, they're getting pitched constantly, usually really badly. So they reject most of the pitches they get and are pretty reasonably wary of pitches. Some people just delete them, like me. I do. I should not admit that out loud, but I do. If you want a good example of what happens when someone gets too many crappy pitches, listen to episode 34 of the Spin Sucks podcast. But you don't want to send crappy pitches. You want to send excellent pitches. That's why you're here. The best pitch I ever got was actually a crappy pitch turned amazing. It was a really bad pitch, and I, for some reason, was feeling generous. Don't know why. And I noticed that the person's signature said PR coordinator. So I figured she was young. So I decided that instead of just ignoring her or deleting her, I would email her back and tell her why it was bad, why it didn't fit for Spin Sucks, and what she could do to improve. So I did. She emailed me back immediately and said how sorry she was, but also that she wasn't young and inexperienced. She was a mom who had taken 10 years off to be with her daughter and had just gotten back into the workforce. And then she said, and oh my gosh, the world has changed. And from there, she and I actually created a friendship. She's blogged for Spin Sucks. She's gotten clients featured on Spin Sucks. And she's gone on to other media relations, earned media fame. So even if you happen to send a crappy pitch and the journalist or influencer emails you back because they're irritated or pissed off, the way you handle it can also turn it into an excellent pitch. I love that story. So while you shouldn't copy that technique exactly because it might not turn out so well, here's how to write pitches that get accepted more often than not. Step number one, build a freaking relationship. I'm serious. This cannot be said enough times. Build a relationship. I know this is about the long game and you have a great idea right now, but if the best time to start building relationships was 5 years ago, the second best time is right now. Just like you build a community by treating your audience like you'd want to be treated, you build relationships with influencers and journalists by shouting them out, engaging with them, and generally making yourself known in a positive light. This won't bring you instant rewards, but it might happen faster than you think. And the long-term payoff of having a network of important influencers and journalists who know your name and know you're invested in their work and their audiences is priceless. Figure out who you want to pitch in the future and start engaging with, sharing, promoting, and recommending them now. When pitches come in from a familiar name or email address, they get more attention. And even if it's not a perfect fit, you're much more likely to get some flexibility and workshopping. Build a relationship. Number two, follow the rules. Unless you're actually having a cocktail in a bar with a journalist or influencer, and that is bound to happen if you follow step one, and you have the chance to say, oh my gosh, I have this awesome idea, you have to follow the rules of the publication you're pitching. Most sites and other outlets that accept pitches have guidelines. They're there for many reasons, but the biggest is to weed out people who don't bother to read them. If it says to submit a Word document, do it. If it says email a specific person at a specific time of year, do it. If it says to pitch an idea before a full story, do it. If it says include a list of your 7 episodes of MasterChef ordered by number of times Gordon Ramsay says the word bloody, do it. And if you don't have such a list, why are you pitching Epicurious anyway? Follow the guidelines, because I assure you, whomever is accepting pitches is looking for reasons to ignore people. Number 3, show your receipts. Showing your receipts means demonstrating that you have done your research on the publication and on the content you're pitching. Think numbers, statistics, quotations, personal stories, understanding the audience, all the stuff you should be doing when you pitch. There is more than enough shallow content out there, and publications, for the most part, aren't going to take the time to coordinate with you, edit, publish, and promote a surface level overview of your topic. Get deep, be controversial, and use real data and personal stories to make your points. The sources that you're using should be included in your pitch. This will show that you've done your homework and are taking the topic and the opportunity seriously. And finally, number 4, get creative. Every time something happens in the news, there's a flurry of think pieces that get pitched by hopeful brands and industry commentators ready to ride the SEO wave and get their opinion, your brand story, to the top of the heap. Right now, everyone is talking about how Elizabeth Holmes from Theranos changed her voice to be deeper, but no one is talking about why. I know this because I keep reading the stories in hopes of finding an answer. Most articles are pretty similar, and that's pretty boring. Don't be boring. Likewise, a lot of vendors and other service providers try really, really hard to make every product update or development newsworthy. I'm sure you've had that experience. It's not newsworthy. Do you really want to read about how company ABC has added a drop-down color menu to their member profile dashboard? No. That's not interesting content. Do you really want to read that so-and-so got promoted? No, not interesting content. But both news and innovations in companies can be made very interesting and can be an important part of brand messaging through earned media when you dig into the story or the innovation and talk about why it's happening, what the outcomes might be, who it affects, and what that means to the broader industry. Ask yourself, who cares and why do they care? What does that mean for the audience of the publication or blog or podcast that you're pitching? Then you're getting into, we absolutely have to publish this territory. So go forth and build relationships, do your research, and find the angle that makes your content irresistible, and then present it in a way that leaves no room for rejection. Have you placed a great story lately? Tell us about it and let us brag on you. Find us on Twitter at SpinSucks or join us in the community at spinsucks.com/spin-sucks-community. That's spinsucks.com/spin-sucks-community. I'll see you next week.
If you're ready to change the face of PR, make sure you subscribe to the Spin Sucks podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and a review.